2. We are the Watchers. Ash. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Ash, how are you?
I'm on top of the world.
Well, get off.
Push me off.
How's the view from up there?
It's a little bit icy around the ears. Gets a little bit cold up here at times.
Careful of your frostbite.
It'll bother your nipples.
So excited you got an iPhone 10.
Well, this is not it. Haven't had time to set it up.
I want to make sure you do it properly to start. Don't want it in Espanol.
How was your plan? Have you got it? Is it they're expensive? You all right with that, Thrifty Thelma?
No. Oh, well, see, this was the problem, right? Mm. I've been going over my data and call usage, and every time you go over it, they charge you $10.
Mm. You got to stop calling those sex lines.
I know, but they're funny.
The breathy voices.
Yeah.
Hi. What are you on about? Leah's on the Leah's the one talking.
Making
go on, give
the
us
money.
One of those sultry voices. Go.
I'm Deborah Hutton.
Mm.
No, you do it.
I'm touching my nappy san.
Ooh. I'm awesome, Ash.
Oh, tickets on yourself much?
If you'd like to speak to lubricating Leah, press 2.
Hi, I'm just the tip Tom.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers episode 11, Legs 11.
Mm.
I don't feel much different from episode 10.
You never do until you hit your teens properly.
Yeah, that's true.
Or is it episode X?
Oh, don't start. Are we Romans?
Mm.
Or are we people? We're not dancers.
Are you the killers right now?
Never am I the killers.
Okay. Right, fair enough. We've done a whole lot of watching this this week, but just really quickly, because I know that we sometimes talk about books.
Mm-hmm.
I've read 3 books this year so far out of
nerd.
My 20.
Nerd.
But, okay, Tom, who just said nerd?
Not me.
Was it Ash?
Yep.
The guy with the glasses on.
The guy who won't read.
The guy holding a book.
Oh, no, I've read 1, not 3.
It's a picture book.
It is. It's got colouring in sections.
Super old looking. What are you reading an old book for?
Well, I think that's the whole vibe of it. And I was actually, while I was reading it just a minute ago, I was feeling the corners because the corners looked creased.
Mm, they
but
do.
But they are indeed. That's actually part of the print. Look at that.
That is cool. That's what's the book?
Attention to Detail. That isn't the name of the book. It's called The Rumpus Room and Other Stories from the Suburbs by Timothy Ross.
Do you mean Rosso?
As in Rosso.
Whoa.
Did you get that copy for free?
Well, it is. It does say. look, it's even got my name in it and signed by Tim.
You won't be able to resell it then.
No, I can't. But this was a gift from Tim for training the soccer team.
And did you ask if he has an audible version?
I can't play soccer to save myself. Sorry, what was that?
Did you ask if he has an audible version?
No.
The read aloud. Because I reckon he'd do a great job reading his book.
I reckon he'd do an amazing
job.
Oh,
he would, absolutely. Yeah. But it's funny, as you're reading it, you get his voice echoing in your head
sure.
as you're reading it. It's a great book. We'll talk about that in just a second, no doubt.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I have been doing some extra bits of watching, watching a few things that not only people have recommended, okay, Tom, but also going outside the square.
I thought you were going to say you've been going outside the house.
Yeah, but not to watch stuff.
Oh.
A friend said, I really like your podcast, but I don't watch Foxtel or Netflix. So I just listen to the shows and think, oh, whenever they come onto free-to-air, I will watch.
Is this person over the age of 90?
Yeah. So I thought, all right, well, I'm going to check out a couple of the free-to-air streaming sites. And I thought, I'm going to go to SBS On Demand first. Heads up, if you do watch stuff on a PlayStation, mid-February, they're not streaming on there anymore.
Aww.
But I managed to catch up on the show Mars, which was from the National Geographic Channel.
Sure, that was fantastic.
What an amazing show that is.
Yeah.
Haven't seen it. That good, is it?
Oh.
Really good.
Is that one Ron Howard's involved in?
Yeah, and it was, okay, so it's half drama, half documentary. Mm-hmm. And the drama part is set in 2033 when they're just launching to go to Mars for the first time ever. And that bit is really cool, and the dramatic bits. A couple of the first lines is like, don't know if I'm going to like this character. This person's annoying. But then it jumps back to 2016, and the interviews are real about organizing trips to Mars now. You've got people like Elon Musk being interviewed and stuff, and they switch between it. And at some point, you think to yourself, is this real? Are these interviews real, or is the drama real? Really good. Mm. Really good.
Okay.
Not that many episodes
either.
No,
I think, is it four, maybe six, something like that?
Maybe
it's not
six.
It's not too many.
No.
Very cool. They put it out for free on iTunes late last year, so I grabbed it then and just binged it hard.
Oh, it's awesome. So bingeable. Mm. Yeah, that was my weekend pretty much.
Oh, sounds like I might have to jump on this.
Yeah.
Anybody who likes space?
I love space.
Personal space.
I love personal space a lot. It's definitely worthwhile. And just the way that they've edited it, I would imagine, is phenomenal.
Mm.
Really, really good.
Do you reckon they wrote the drama part first, then got the interviews and stitched the story together, or they get the interviews and decide what the storyline for the future should be based on?
I think it's the interviews first, only because there was a storyline in it about one of the astronauts that goes to Mars in the drama part.
Yep.
And she has a twin sister who stays behind but is still part of the home team, I guess. I don't know what you would call it.
But Rebel Alliance.
It's not NASA, but yeah. Yeah, let's call it Rebel Alliance. But a couple of years ago, there was an astronaut that went up into space for a year to see what impact that would have on a human body. And his brother, who has also gone into space before, is sort of the Earth specimen. And they're going to, as they grow older, they're going to assess them, which I think is really interesting to see how the person who has been in space for a year, how their body copes as they grow old compared to the person who was on Earth.
Are there any forecasts on what that does to the human body? Is there any
You age at a different speed. So I was going to say with that, the twins technically wouldn't be twins anymore because they might have been born at the same time, but the person in space, because the effect of gravity isn't as strong on them, is going to age at a different speed. If they were moving at light speed, which I can't remember if that's part of the show, at what speed, you know, whether they're put into hypersleep or this sort of stuff. I don't think it is because it's not quite far enough. We're not leaving our solar system. But if you traveled at light speed, you are moving at such a different rate that I think it's something like 7 years is one – 7 years on Earth is a week in space. I can't remember the quiet stats like that, but – yeah, that would throw the twins' timelines out completely.
Mm.
Do you remember there was a couple of Aussies who were sort of on the short list to go to Mars, that one-way Mars thing they were talking about a few years ago? I haven't heard much about it recently, and I wonder if they are still included or not, or if they've sort of been brushed. Because I remember there was a woman, she might have been in her 50s, and I thought, well, by the time they organise Mars, she may not be eligible anymore.
It'd be interesting, I think, going up with a couple of Aussies if you're from another continent.
Yeah, because you would feel that you were with Martians.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, especially if you're going up with someone like Roberta Williams or someone like that.
But imagine meeting an alien out there and just walking up going, G'day,
mate, how you fucking going?
Ash, would you do the one-way trip to Mars?
I would. Now that I'm a family man, I think I'd have a lot of trouble doing
it. Difficult, wouldn't it?
Prior to that, I'd put my hand up and say yes.
Really? Straight away?
Send me off.
What about you, Tom?
I'd go the other direction. I'd want to head closer towards the sun rather than further away.
All right. It's a bit cold here for you, is it?
No, I just...
warm your cockles?
I like the idea of the heat that way rather than... Mars seems pretty boring.
All right.
It's a big red dust rock.
Just get slowly sent off to the sun until you start to melt.
Yeah.
That really does it for you.
Look, we've mentioned the movie Sunshine before, and I find the sun far more intriguing than another planet. I know we can't go and colonise there and stuff, but if I was going to go and investigate something, I'd want to get up close to the sun.
There you go. Tom likes a bit of vitamin D.
Imagine the amount of vitamin D you'd get.
So much. I would be one tanned mofo.
He'd be dripping vitamin D.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Ash, what have you been watching?
I have continued watching The X-Files.
Amazing.
I'm loving it. It's so good. It is so good. They find the right balance between story and the relationship between Mulder and Scully. Like, there's just tiny little snippets of it in there.
I caught a little bit of an episode and I thought, no, I want to watch from the beginning of season 10, so I've started recording them. Season X. And I must say, they do have that.
So you want to call it the 10 files?
High five. Very nice.
That was very good.
Thank you.
But the storyline's progressing really well.
Storyline's great. And the last episode that I watched, it was a bit of a, excuse language, and if you're playing this in the car and you've got kids present, it was a bit of a mind fuck. And there's a guy that comes in, and they start to blur the lines between reality and stuff that's just going on in your head.
Yeah, right.
And they do it really, really well. And they both weave in and out of each other, but there's a really good sideline story which is following this, which is it follows the show, but it's like a B grade sci-fi shot, and it's done 70s, 80s esque sort of feel to it, and it's so bad, but you sit there and laugh. But it's just how this guy's describing everything to go. But it's pretty much what these guys are imagining, what Mulder and Scully are imagining actually happened. It's extremely hard to explain.
Yes.
And I'm sure the production meeting was even harder. But to sit down and watch it, I thought it was a bloody masterpiece. It was fantastic. This is the latest episode, episode 4.
Okay.
Do yourself a favour. Get it in your eyes. It's really good.
That?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I've started recording them, so it's
oh,
on
have
my
you?
List.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
From season X10. So I'm going to jump on board soon.
Excellent. I'm very interested to hear what your thoughts are on it. But just there's a relationship there. It's not overpowering for the show, and it's almost like they put these little teasers in that, hey, they're going to get it all.
And you're excited.
Oh, cool.
Keeps you watching.
Yeah.
Keeps you watching. Tom, what have you been up to?
Look, last night I watched Captain America Civil War again, which I've watched many times, but I'm getting really amped because it's like 2 weeks till Black Panther comes out. So I wanted to revisit that. And then last night at about 1 a.m., Marvel dropped the trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp, so Ant-Man 2, and it looks awesome.
So is the Wasp the arch nemesis?
No, the Wasp is Evangeline Lilly, who was the girl in the first one, Kate from Lost.
Yeah.
She got her own suit during the credits of Ant-Man. And they are going to be a bit of a crime-fighting duo. It looks like he's still as dumb and inept as before. And the trailer had a bit where someone had to run away from a giant Hello Kitty Pez dispenser.
Okay, as you do.
Right. So do you know what I like to call wasps?
What?
Arseholes with wings.
Oh, there you go. Well, this one seems quite nicer.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, she has stingers, can shoot electricity and whatnot.
What, so like out of her wrists like Spider-Man with the web? Webbing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which looks
pretty
cool.
That's how insects do
so
it, I guess.
I felt it was perfect timing last night to revisit Civil War because I'm getting amped for the Marvel. And then other than that, I've been watching a lot of serious stuff this week.
Oh, you've been getting serious.
Yeah. It's Edinburgh season, so you've got Blue Planet 2. Great Barrier Reef started as well, which was great. But the main show I've been watching is Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, right.
Okay. He's the head of the New York Planetarium, the Natural History Museum, and he's also the guy that hosted the recent version of Cosmos. But he has a show called Star Talk where he gets celebrities or people of note, has an interview with them, and then roundtable discussion in front of an audience. And this week's episode was with Stephen Colbert, and it was all about the science of satire. And it was really, really interesting watching these guys discuss the fact that comedy is kind of not too dissimilar to science in that it's about studying a subject, picking it apart, finding the flaw and reassembling it and giving it a different take, you know, coming at a different angle than we had in the past and learning something more about ourselves. So it was a really, really fascinating discussion. And the co-host this week was one of my favorite people in the world, a guy named Adam Conover, who has a show called Adam Ruins Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, for my money, the smartest show on television. It's a comedy, but it's an educational comedy.
Yeah, you learn stuff for sure.
Yeah, so it's three main topics or subjects each episode. So, you know, it's normally Adam Ruins Death, Adam Ruins Taxes, or a very specific subject.
So was he the host or was he the guest?
So on Star Talk, he was the guest.
Guest, yeah.
Or the co-host guest. Mm-hmm. But on Adam Ruins Everything, that's his show. Yeah. And he is insanely obnoxious and a massive know-it-all. And that's the central conceit of the show, is that he's coming in to change people's opinions by educating them somewhat.
And I've watched a couple of episodes of that. That's well worth checking out too.
It's one of those ones that you can flick onto TV if you're, you know, just channel surfing.
Yep.
And you stick on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very engaging and smart.
And was he that character?
So it was a mix.
Okay.
So he was himself for plenty of it, but where appropriate during the show, he'd pull out a segment and have visual aids or point out flaws in current thinking and how he can adjust them. The thing that I love so much about him is that he's very humble off screen, and you know, he got his rise from College Humor. He's been making viral videos for years.
Okay.
They had a whole episode called Adam Ruins Everything. And it was facts that they'd presented in the past that more information has since come to light.
Interesting.
And being humble and saying, look, we can't know everything. That's not our point. Our point is to educate with the information that's on hand at the time. When something's wrong, we're going to put our hand up and admit it and adjust. And that's, you don't see that a whole lot in the public-facing science community of people being willing to eat a bit of shit, but this guy will eat a mountain of shit to keep his credibility.
That's what I was going to say. It brings accuracy. It brings credibility.
Yeah.
Quickly sidelining a little bit, sidetrack. You know the podcast Stuff You Miss in History Class?
Yes.
They will often go back if a new bit of research or something has been looked into on a story that they've done.
Yeah.
And they'll go back and sort of give an update a bit.
Oh, look,
it's good. It means that you trust what they're saying.
Very much so. I follow Mike Rowe, who's the host. He had a show for years called Dirty Jobs. He went around experiencing...
What a great show.
I love Mike.
It was so good.
And what a voice.
He's got a great voice. He actually narrates tons of television shows. And he was discussing the fact that there's a space show that he narrates, or a science show, but it largely focuses on space. And there are points where he'll go and record his narration, and in the 3 months between that happening and it airing, he has to go back once or twice to update facts because the knowledge is updated so frequently.
Mm.
At one point they were talking about how there's believed to be around 200 million other galaxies out there. Mm. And then by the time the air went away, he had to adjust that to over 2 trillion.
Holy cow.
This sort of stuff. So our understanding continues to grow.
Yeah.
I love it. So I found it funny that you called her a nerd for having a book, but I'm sitting here talking about this stuff.
It's all right. We're a little bit geeky.
Yeah.
I embrace it these days.
Well, you know.
The geek inherited the earth.
Yeah, that's right. It's cool now.
Absolutely. One day we will rule the world.
Geek is just another word for passion about your hobbies or interests.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nerd. No one's like...
Nerd.
Nerd is someone who's book smart, and then you've got a dork. Socially awkward.
Dork's daggy.
What's the difference between a dork and a nerd?
A dork...
Nerd...
Shut up, nerd.
Indicates a level of intellect.
Yes.
But a dork, you don't have to have any smarts.
A dork also is more prevalent to having social anxieties and social issues, interacting with others.
Mm-hmm.
A geek is someone who's simply very passionate about their interests, and a nerd is someone who is into nerdy stuff.
But they can all come together and make 1980s movies called Revenge of the Nerds, 1, 2, and 3. I think there was a 3.
Nerds are into, so what is nerdy sort of stuff?
Okay.
Tech would be one?
No, I'd say that's more on the dork side.
Oh.
A nerd is pop culture, largely focused.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of my favorite subgenres of music is a hip-hop style called nerdcore rap, and it's nerdy white boys talking, rapping about nerdy subjects.
We've listened to this in the car.
Yeah, so there's MC Lars who adapts Shakespeare.
Is he Canadian? There's a Canadian guy I vaguely remember you talking about.
There is a Canadian guy named Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Oh, that's who.
There's MC Plus Plus, who's a guy that only raps in code. MC so Stephen good. Hawking, who uses a text-to-audio program. And I give a shout-out to my boy Whitey Cracker, spelled Y-T Cracker. He's a professional spammer.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember that movie from the 90s?
Gig.
Yeah, remember that movie from the 90s? Was it Sliders?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But,
no, sorry, Hackers, not Sliders.
Oh, Hackers, yeah. Oh. Angelina Jolie was in it.
Yes, so it's loosely based on some stuff he did as a teenager.
Oh, him.
Mm.
Yeah, right. Mm. That's a good movie. I wouldn't mind watching it again just to see how frustrating it is to watch them type.
They literally have a "we're surfing the internet."
Yeah. And it's funny because sliders mean something completely different these days. It's
burgers. Like
little tiny burgers.
Mm, yeah. Delicious.
Mm, burger.
But sliders will always be Jerry O'Connell and
Jonathan
Rhys-Davies for me. Mm.
Do you also remember Sandra Bullock's movie The Net?
Yeah.
Where they stole her identity.
Oh, gosh.
Identity theft. And you're like, wow, this is so science fiction. It'll never
Stop
happen.
Stop stealing my things through dial-up.
Yeah, I watched some of that recently, sort of like the last half hour, and I thought, oh, I can't even
deal with it. But it was good at the time.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I remember finding it really exciting.
And I love a bit of Bullock.
Oh, she's great.
She is. She's so cool and real, and she's
when you
just
see
a
her
dude.
Yeah, that's right.
She's a dude.
You see her interviewed and you just think,
so natural.
A lot of time
I'm
for
quite
you.
Amped yeah. for the Ocean's 8 movie.
All the women.
Yeah, because she's the lead for that.
Okay. Yes. Are we making this movie just so that to appease some of the feminazis of Hollywood?
No, that can be your take, but it looks like a genuinely good film written by some great people.
Got a
and
lot
starring
of people.
A lot of awesome people.
Is there a TBC in there?
A what?
TBC.
I thought you said, is there a TV in there? Yeah, and so I went, well, there potentially could be in the background. TV. I'm not really sure.
It's out in a few months.
Kate Blanchett's in it.
Rihanna.
Yeah, that's
Aquafina.
She was the weird one. Julia Roberts, I think, is
Mindy
the link.
Mindy Kaling.
Julia's
yes.
in it. Yeah. Wasn't Julia in the originals?
Yeah, so she's the link.
Yes, because she's Danny Ocean's sister.
Mm.
Is it sister or is ex?
I think they were.
Yeah,
lover.
They weren't from Tasmania, Tom.
Sandra's the sister.
Right, okay. Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah.
Play a sting.
Sting.
I was just like, he keeps holding that book. I thought maybe you'll talk about
it. I'm trying to prep to talk about it because I read chapter one some time ago and I've just read chapter
that
two.
That word is architecture.
It's a really, really good book.
This is the Rosso book,
This is the Rosso book, The Rumpus Room and Other Stories from the Suburbs.
You're listening to We Are the Readers.
But we do books as well, yeah?
Yeah, we do, absolutely.
Right. This is good. This is really good. And if you like your Australiana and your Australian culture, and I reckon, Leah, you're going to love this book. You're going to read it after me.
I think I drive past quite a lot of houses that look exactly like the house on the front cover getting here.
Look, the thing with Rosso, it's interesting driving through these suburbs that have just sort of remained untouched. And there's not too many in Sydney, by the way, which haven't been developed or, you know, we've had property developers come in and say, let's knock this down and build something else.
Yep.
There's nice little pockets of suburbia that still have 70s and 80s architecture all through them, and they're sort of stuck in time.
Yeah.
I like those little suburbs.
Because they remind you of your childhood because you used to walk past them.
Exactly. Exactly. And so does this book as well. And there's, I love how there's references here to the old Datsun 180B.
Oh, we have one of those.
Yes, so do we, I think.
Sky blue?
Yes!
Hey! Twins.
And sometimes it just didn't want to get out of second gear.
Oh, I never drove it. I wouldn't have known what second gear was then.
And sometimes it didn't even want to go into first gear. So on the way to school, Mum would be flooring it, trying to get up this bloody hill out the front of our place. Mm. And it was in second gear. So it was just, hang on, kids, get out and walk until we get to the top.
It's going to take, it'll take longer driving.
Apart from that, it was a very reliable car.
Okay.
There's talks of the Holden HQ, Kingswood, and just really nice old memorabilia from growing up. The story's about, you know, the Rumpus Room, obviously, that we're talking about the Rumpus Room. It sounds like Rosso's dad was quite a character. And going over, I'll read you one snippet of it, just from the book here. The best Rumpus Room ever saw was at the end of the summer at the start of 1982. I was in my first year of high school and I'd quickly become friends with Carl. He liked a girl called Sonia, who was also in my year, somehow managed to have nicotine-stained teeth from a heavy year of smoking in year six. Sonia wore a shark's tooth necklace and had an unusual crush on her brother. Mm-hmm. In brackets, a recent check on Facebook confirms that she didn't marry her brother, but the teeth are still yellow. No mention of the necklace. I mean, it's just classic Rosso writing and a very raw and intimate look at growing up in the 80s and 90s. With a very funny twist to it.
And it's got pictures in it, like Tom said.
And it does have pictures in it. A lot of memorabilia, old school stuff. cars,
stuff and things.
Stuff and things. Check it out. The Rumpus Room and Other Stories from the Suburbs. It's by Tim Ross, who is not only funny, but he's also had a television show on ABC, Streets of Your Town, which was absolutely amazing. I think it was up for a Logie.
And whenever
as well.
I hear it, it makes me sing the song, Streets of Your Town.
Oh, is there a song?
Oh, dear.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
I finished listening to the audiobook of Norse mythology by Neil Gaiman. Yeah. I thought, you know what? You've got stuff like...
American gods.
Yeah, you've got Vikings as well. I know that Gods of War, the new one is coming up, and that's going to have a lot of sort of Nordic stuff in it. You've got The Witcher. There's a whole heap of stuff. Oh, where is this all coming from? So I thought, I'm going to listen to this one.
Yep.
I think I'd enjoy it more if I listened to it. And it was narrated by Neil himself. Mm-hmm. Did a great job. The stories are those gods get up to no good, or they get really trapped within stupid little deals that they make with giants. And it's almost every story is Thor somehow losing his hammer or accidentally growing old or doing some sort of bet with a giant and losing, but then you realise the giant's actually done a trick on him. But it's fun, and now I want to go and watch the Thor movies to see how much of the original folklore they have taken.
Not much. Just as it's not much.
I would say.
There's some names and stuff. In the Marvel Universe, they're aliens. It's just they're very, very futuristic with the tech they have and stuff, so we perceive them in the past as potential gods.
Ah,
yeah.
Nice little twist there.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, and I don't know what I'm going to read next. You've got to let these things ponder, you know?
Yeah, you've got to simmer.
Oh, the Rumpus Room by Tim Ross.
There we go. I'll read that. That's perfect.
I can throw a suggestion in there.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying your Neil Gaiman, obviously he's a great comic book writer as well as prose writer. Check out Grant Morrison's Happy, which I've mentioned in the past, which has been adapted into a TV show. It's only 4-issue comic series. It's a really good comic. Yes. It's just 4. The finale of Happy is later this week, but last week's episode, I will tell you now, was one of the most fucked up hours of television I've ever seen.
Really?
Yep.
Did you feel?
I had to keep taking a break.
Holy cow.
Yeah, because Happy, the flying blue unicorn imaginary friend, has been completely corrupted. And gets in a very violent altercation that's very Tarantino inspired, and ends up having to kill another imaginary friend.
Oh no!
With his unicorn horn by disembowelment.
Oh yeah! Now you're talking.
And it's this
that's
other
a
imaginary
unicorn.
Well, this other imaginary friend is a Cerberus, so it's a three-headed dog creature. And it's voiced by Billy West, who you know from Futurama and just amazing voice artist and stuff. So while all that's going on, things have gotten darker and darker in the show, and the girl. The little girl whose imaginary friend was kidnapped, we've learned a lot more, and she's kind of being sold into a pedophile ring.
Oh,
and
what?
It sounds dark.
It's really dark.
I don't know if I can do this.
There's dick-shaped aliens from space masquerading as Teletubbies that are invited to a BDSM sex party where everyone's assaulting one another with fly swatters.
What the hell are you watching?
I love it. If you like some weird gear, if you like stuff that doesn't fit traditional narrative norms and just goes places, I cannot recommend this show enough. Look, a lot of it is directed and written by the guys that did the Crank films. I don't know if you remember them with Jason Statham.
Yeah.
They were insane films. They've used a lot of that and, mixed it with this already very strange comic book.
I've been still trying to get through Black Mirror, and you really cannot watch more than one episode of those a day.
They're not designed to be.
Some of them you just finish watching, you go, oh, I feel really bad about everything.
I don't want to adult anymore.
No, you don't want to adult anymore. So maybe we should talk about something more fun. I want to talk about Deshaun. Deshaun from Beverly Hills 90210, the university years. He's now a superhero.
Is he?
Who's that?
He is known as Black Lightning.
Oh, you checked it out.
I did. I watched the first episode and I really liked it.
Well, that's good, is it?
I let you know they're now streaming on Netflix. It's been caught up and they're so Episode 3, I think, will drop tonight. Mm-hmm. So it'll be on Netflix probably tomorrow or the day after or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, sometime this week. Amazing. Yeah,
I'm glad you checked it out.
I really liked it. And I liked it even more because the very first shot, I went, oh, Mr. Sean from Beverly Hills 90210, the university is. He was a basketball player who was on a scholarship, but his grades were slipping.
Oh,
this is in 90210. And, of course, Brandon Walsh had to come and save the day.
As he does.
Yeah, exactly. So now I'm waiting for Jason Priestley to make a cameo.
I'm sure they'll find a way.
I really hope
Maybe
so.
Maybe he can play an asshole racist cop.
Whoa.
Or a corrupt politician. Because
I reckon
damn
corrupt
the
politician
man.
Would be the way to go. But what a great... you spoke about it last week, and if you want to check that out, you can listen to it. But I really liked it. It's superhero, but it's based in reality, gritty reality. Because sometimes the superhero things, I go, oh, I'd really like this if I was a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah, it's more like the Netflix Marvel series. It's got that vibe of your Daredevil or your Punisher. It's a real person interacting with the real world that just so happens to have powers, rather than the Marvel movie style, which is where the power elevates someone to being above human issues on the whole, unless you're Spider-Man.
No.
But I'm really excited to see where it goes from there.
I'm going to continue watching.
The Tobias Whale, the bad guy that we only saw very briefly, the albino gentleman.
Yes.
He is awesome. So he used to be Exhibit's hype man, like a Flavor Flav star guy out there getting everyone amped. And he's made the
pimping cars.
Yeah. But he's made the crossover acting now, and it's perfect casting because everyone's been wondering who would play this character because it's always been an albino in the comic.
And he's actually albino.
He's an albino African-American guy.
Oh, white chocolate.
Sure. So it's some bang-on casting there, and I think he's going to be really threatening as things progress.
Now, Black Lightning's older sidekick, dude, his name I can't remember.
James Remar. Who you might recognise as the father from Dexter. He's Dexter's dad.
Oh, see, I remembered him from Sex and the City. I think he went out with Samantha for a while.
Yep. He's been in a lot of things.
Everyone went out with Samantha.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he's a great character actor.
It took me a while to recognise him, to be honest with you. I went,
He's a blender. He likes he adds rather than distracts.
Means he can get constant work. Yep. Yeah, constant work.
Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've got no pants on.
Happy place. Good place.
Good place.
Let's
good
talk about
place.
Got to do
that's
that
my
check-in.
Happy. That's my happy place.
I always call it happy place.
That was such a solid episode.
It Maya sure Rudolph, was. Hello.
Yep. She brung it.
Yeah, she already brought it.
Because they could have gone so many different directions for that casting of who the judge would be. And I loved that. Almost,
sorry, who is she?
So she was on SNL for years.
Around the Tina Fey, Amy Poehler
era. Oh, right, okay. I thought she looked familiar. I didn't quite know who she was.
She's amazing at just disappearing into really ridiculous, wacky roles, but still keeping it quite grounded. So I did not see that swerve coming, of casting her at all, because so many of the other people that they've cast in, you know, leadership roles have been very deadpan or kept it that sort of stuff together. So by having someone who was so bubbly and excited, I kind of thought that they might pull out a big gun like a Will Ferrell or an Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
They're coming. Yeah. You bet.
You know they are
coming. As soon as Tina Fey gets in there, that has to be a season finale.
I honestly thought it was the burrito.
I thought it was going to be for a while too.
That would have been cool.
But how much of a relief did you feel when the judge was super nice?
Yes, I didn't
like
expect
you just
that.
went, oh my God, yes, they've got a really cool judge and she's really nice. And it puts you into this maybe even a false sense of security that, hey, they're going to be okay. She seems fair. She seems like a nice chick.
And it was a very clever way to, because like if you stand back and take a really macro look, nothing progressed really in this episode other than good Janet faked out and got rid of Sean. Now I'm sure he's, you know, that was the room where you get stuck for eternity. I don't know if Sean's coming back because they beat him up and left him in there and no one knows he's in there.
True.
And he's just going to have that fucking ever-growing pile of New Yorkers that, you know, I won't read that. The woman that plays Janet was amazing because I fully was convinced that that was a bad Janet. And
me
then
too.
Turned it around. But if you look at everything they went through on the test in the neutral place or whatever, didn't achieve anything because they showed up at the end to save the day or presumably save the day.
I think the only thing we learnt was that everybody... No, it wasn't everybody. I was going to say that everybody failed.
But they didn't.
No.
Hmm. That was probably the only bit of info that we got from it. But, of course, you can continue watching it.
God, Jason made me laugh so hard trying to play that game.
He was set up to fail, though. Like, yeah. I mean, the poor guy. He's just a total man-child.
I'm Jason Mendoza.
It is difficult to watch The Good Place week to week instead of binging. It's really difficult.
Yeah, I'm finding it difficult.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard
time. Well, don't stress too much because there ain't much left.
I know, but this is just how it's got to be from now on. I got to wait every week, man.
Welcome to how it's been forever.
What the rest of the world has to do.
Yeah.
Now, we, of course, have got a couple of big shows coming back. The main one, of course, would be The Walking Dead. That has to be soon.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was not the show I thought you were going to say.
What show did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to say Impractical Jokers, because that's back on Friday. They've got Gary Busey this season.
That'll be Trainwreck?
Oh, I think he's going to get angry when someone calls him Nick Nolte by accident.
Fair enough. It must happen all the time. But yeah, The Walking Dead, this is going to be a strange year though, because usually after The Walking Dead, you've got Game of Thrones. There is no Game of Thrones.
Westworld.
You know what I'm thinking of doing?
What?
I'm going to jump on Amazon streaming TV service.
Oh, you could be the one guy that watches the new Top Gear guys show.
Yeah. I watch it anyway on Seven. I'm a big fan of Clarkson and the boys.
Yeah.
I'm a hoon. I'm a rivet.
You love your cars.
Love that stuff.
Yeah.
But not only that, I want to see what they've got to offer. I really do.
So it's available now in Australia?
I think you'd be really into a show called Transparent.
Mm-hmm. I don't like the sound of this already.
Well, it's Jeffrey Tambor who
is it about
the
parenting?
No.
Okay, good. All right.
It's about a family patriarch who comes out as transgender to his family.
Oh, great. Okay, so it does go there.
Yeah.
Right.
I know that.
Is it reality?
No. It's a drama comedy. It's a bit of a dramedy. It wins many awards.
I haven't seen it, but I know of it. Yeah.
No, it's not like that.
Okay.
It's really respectful and it's a great show.
Yeah.
It's going through some behind the scenes tumultuous activity at the moment.
Oh, no.
All right.
That's a shame.
Someone's been accused
of what? Being naughty.
Inappropriateness.
Oh, just really quickly, this is another sidetrack. Last week I went and saw Alanis Morissette.
Oh, you!
Oh, I didn't know.
It was sold out.
Order.
It was sold out. I tried to get tickets originally, couldn't. Went, oh, well.
I was thinking about going.
Was it in a stadium or in a theatre?
The ICC.
Did anything happen in the theatre?
Did you fall down the... Apparently it's really steep in there.
Oh, there was a drunk girl who fell down.
Ah.
Yeah, she only sang Jagged Little Pill song, so she would have gotten your reference there, Tom.
Sure.
But...
Oh, you like her new stuff better than her old stuff?
No, it's just that I realised most people were there just for Jagged Little Pill, which is fine. Like, it's an amazing album. One of the greatest.
Of.
Yeah, exactly. But I went and saw Alanis years ago.
Yes.
When she was actually performing out here. She hasn't been here for like 20 years or something. Not that long. So anyway, yeah, a long time. She never spoke on stage. She'd just say thank you. Hello, Sydney or something. And you go, okay, like that's fine. She's
into artist.
Her music. She's a real chatter now. Not to the point where you're like, get to the song.
Still angry about men?
Oh, no, she hasn't been angry about men since Jagged Little Pill.
Okay.
She hasn't been angry since Ryan Reynolds broke her heart. They were engaged. I saw her. It was in the audience for Jay Leno's show in LA.
Oh, yeah.
And she came and performed the first single off her new album, and it was just after their engagement had broken up, and it was so raw that she was in tears.
Really?
Oh, ugly.
It was amazing. Like, so moving and beautifully
but
done
still,
and stuff.
You must have felt bad. Oh, the whole crowd wanted to go and give her a hug. Yeah. But this was the kind of concert that it was acoustic, so it was only her and two guitarists.
Awesome.
When there were the big Jagged Little Pill songs, you could barely hear her sing. Everybody in the theatre was singing along. Geez, it's a good feeling when that happens.
How ironic.
I know. Oh, she made a joke about that as well.
Oh, did she?
Yeah,
she took the piss out of it.
Very funny.
Did she finally accept the fact that she was actually talking about coincidence?
Yeah,
nothing.
That's what she said something along the lines of, oh, for any people who have written songs before and when they're really super young and then they realise that it's just a song about coincidences and everybody for 20-odd years makes fun of you. And then there's a pause. She goes, oh, no, that's just me, and then just start singing ironic. It was quite funny. Yeah, yeah, it was good. Good to see her out here, and hopefully
she's still got it
soon. Note for note, that pitch is perfect. Yeah. She has one phenomenal voice.
Yeah, good.
Insane. Like shivers down the back of your spine.
Oh,
good.
Yeah. I wish I had a went.
You should have on foot tickets that morning.
Yeah.
We were right up the back, but.
But apparently, the ICC, the International Convention Centre, mm-hmm. down here at Darling Harbour, which is brand new, which was constructed by Mike Baird, not just himself, but by a whole team of people that he employed to do it. Apparently, it's quite an amazing theatre.
It was good.
Extremely steep.
Yes, very steep.
Very steep. Very steep. Almost dangerously steep. But apparently that's for the acoustics. How was the sound and how was
the... Yeah, it was great. Couldn't complain. Not too loud, not too soft. It was just
right.
Just right. Now...
Did the chairs extend back or were there no kickbacks?
Oh, I wish it was kickback chairs. How good would that be? Acoustic kickback.
Mike took all the kickbacks for himself.
I hate him, so you did that very well.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Whoa,
I agree wholeheartedly. Mike Baird, if you're listening, fuck you.
Yeah, he listens to this.
I've got a big bag of dicks right here. Your name on it.
Now, just before we finish, I thought we could play a little quiz.
Ooh.
This is different.
Did a whole heap of research.
Okay.
Thanks for warning us beforehand. I would have studied.
Minutes. No, it's better. This is called TV Show Names Considered. So they're the name of TV shows that they didn't go with.
Okay.
I've only picked a few.
Okay. Sure. So what's our role here?
You have to figure out what
the real name is.
Oh, right. Okay.
The first one was originally going to be called Six of One.
Brady Bunch?
Oh, that's not a bad guess.
But Dirty Dozen?
These are all TV shows.
Party of Five? No. That's not from
Sorry. It's from the 90s. It was a sitcom.
Say it again.
Six of One.
Step by Step.
There were six of them, literally six in the cast. They lived in Manhattan.
Friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Friends. This one's going to be a bit difficult, so I'm going to give you clues as we go through. Life and Stuff. Once again, it was a sitcom. Started in the 80s. Went through to the 90s. No. There were no puppets in this one.
Is that the one with Michael J. Fox? Family
no,
Ties?
No, in fact, this one is being filmed again. They're making a new season of it after many, many years.
Roseanne.
It was originally going to be called Life and Stuff.
Was it really? Oh, so this is factual.
Yeah, I've done research.
Oh, you're not making stuff
no,
up.
No, this is real.
Oh, wow.
Teenage Wasteland.
Teenage Wasteland.
I feel like I know this.
I've just realised that most of these are all sitcoms. Including this one.
70s show?
Yes. Yeah. Nice one, Tom. Thank you. That's good.
It was going to be called Teenage Wasteland.
Yeah.
Well, that's a... Is it Who? Teenage Wasteland? Is that a Who song?
That's not the theme song, is it? No, that's the theme song. Let's go, all right. Yeah.
We don't have enough money to sing that song.
Exactly. What about Cool?
Girls?
They could have also called it Sit On It, Putts.
Sit On It.
Hey.
Happy Days.
Yeah. Oh, Happy Days, right. Yeah.
Cool. This one, I love the name, and I had to actually check it a couple of different websites because I didn't believe that it was real. They wanted to call this sitcom in the 80s through to the early 90s, Not the Cosby Show. That's what they wanted the title to be, Not the Cosby Show.
Webster.
Was it the Cosby Show?
No, it wasn't. No, the theme song...
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
No, the theme song was a Frank Sinatra song, and in the opening theme... You see a fountain.
Oh,
you've got it.
Married with Children.
Yeah. It was going to be called Not the Cosby Show.
Wow. Well, How about that?
This one, I'm going to be super disappointed if this one is not picked, and it's the final one as well. There was a show that was going to be called Nowhere. Mm. There's going to be some kicking going on in a minute.
Is it a sitcom?
No, it's an hour-long drama.
Lost?
Lost.
Yeah, I knew that.
Called Nowhere.
I just thought it was a sitcom.
Nice.
Yeah, was the only one that wasn't a sitcom. Nowhere.
That was before there was any supernatural stuff involved.
Ah, really?
When it was just going to be more like a drama type thing, on a dramatic version of Survivor. no way.
In an island.
Mm-hmm. With that show, Tom, because you used to do a little bit of work on it, just out of curiosity, and sorry to interrupt the game show that we've got going on here.
We literally just finished, so well done, guys.
Hey, excellent, thank you. was the premise for the show always to go in that direction, or was it made up as they went along?
Well, look, I could talk for hours about this. But
I know,
very,
just the short answer
very
will do.
Very quickly, condensed. The guy that initially came up with the idea wanted a dramatic version of Survivor.
Mm.
He didn't stick around with the network long enough to see it develop. J.J. Abrams got brought in on the idea, mm-hmm. and at the time he was working across Felicity and Alias and wanted to add some supernatural stuff. He basically they had 10 weeks to go from concept to on air.
Yep.
And it's the most expensive pilot that was ever filmed. I think about $16
million. Holy dooly.
Something like that, because, you know, they had to buy a plane.
Mm.
And then J.J. moved on. Because he landed the directing gig for Mission Impossible 3, so some other people took over. So there were a lot of different hands involved in the baking of that pie to get it on air. Yeah. But once it was ready, they kind of told a few lies about where things would go so they could get away with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also one of the most watched premieres in history.
Yeah.
So it worked. It worked. Okay. They knew the ending. Mm-hmm. They knew a lot of the beats throughout. And once halfway through season three is when they determined that it would end after six seasons. And once that was in place, then they could work to the end goal.
Mm.
Because early season three, they struggled. There's an episode that focuses on how Jack, the main character, got his tattoos. And the flashback. It was fucking boring.
Do you not remember that?
Sort of like the fly episode, I guess, from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, but that still had a little bit of payoff somewhere. This just never paid off anything.
Yeah, okay. Leah, can I just say that your shirt today is marvellous. It's got a nice little 80s vibe to it and a cute little foxes.
Yeah, you look foxy.
I look foxy. Thank you very much.
I love it.
I've got another shirt that has another pattern on it. That it has got cats on it, but it doesn't look like cats when you first look at it. I know. The thing is, I always expect people to comment on the fox top more, but they always comment on the cat one.
Do you like my nice new green pants?
Oh,
I'm ready to play golf in the 70s.
That is going to do it for us this week.
That's just about it.
And that is all we're going to do. Ash, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. And Tom.
Hoodie hoo!
Run, folks!